Tonight we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's not a super long chapter. It's only 18 verses. But there is so much there. Just kind of to back up a little bit. Paul is still defending his ministry because people had come to Corinth and were talking about him. And so he is still talking about and still defending his ministry. But at the same time he's defending his ministry, I think he's actually showing us, God is showing us, that we should have a similar ministry ourselves. Now, everybody's ministry is different. My ministry is different than yours. Yours is different than the person sitting beside you. But God has given us all ministries. And too many times I think people think, well, if I'm not a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, or a Bible study leader, if I don't have an official capacity in a church, then I don't have a ministry. Well, if you think that, you're wrong, and I'm not doing a very good job. Because each person that has accepted Christ has received that mercy from Him, and we are to share that mercy as well. And that is the ministry that He has given to each of us. And so let's ask His blessing on the Word as we get into it. Father, take this time and just speak to us through Your Word, Lord. Show us what it was written for. Lord, we don't want to just read it and learn about history. We don't want to just take it and walk out of here with more knowledge, Lord. We want to be able to be changed by You and understand what it is You have for us. And so we pray Your blessings upon Your Word and Your blessings upon us at this time to unite the two together, that You would make us and mold us into Your will. In Your name we pray. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul is telling them here as he begins into this, we have this ministry because of God. God has shown mercy on us. Paul is telling them, we have this ministry that we're defending, that he's defending here. The reason we have this ministry is because God has shown mercy on me. On that road to Damascus, when Saul sees that bright light and God shows mercy on him. That's the reason for his ministry. Wherever you were at when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, whatever lifestyle you had before, and it may have not been a terrible lifestyle, but God has showed mercy on you because before that you stood condemned already, and God showed mercy on you, and when He did that, He gave you a ministry. For a long time, I didn't take advantage of the ministry that He had given me. I'm not talking about preaching in the pulpit. I'm not talking even speaking as a youth leader. I'm talking about sharing Jesus Christ with people. The ministry of presenting the gospel to the lost world. And that's something we're all supposed to do. And Paul is saying here, since we have this ministry that we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. That phrase is going to be repeated again later, but I think it's something that we need to get to a point of understanding. So many times we do lose heart. We see the fact that it just seems like what we're doing may not, in our mind, we think it. You know, God, I know You want me to go out and speak to this person at work, and I'm trying, and I'm talking to them, and they're not listening. And it seems so, at times, unproductive because we don't see the fruit. We don't see the fruits of our labor when we try to minister, when we try to share Jesus with people. And it is really easy to lose heart. It is really easy for us to want to just give up. But Paul says the reason he doesn't give up, the reason he doesn't lose heart, because he knows that he has the ministry because he's received the mercy. And when he reflects back on what he was before and why God blessed him and chose him, I'm sure he's like most of us. I don't know why he did it, but I'm thankful he did it. And because of that, I will never give up. There are people in my life that I know prayed for me and prayed for me and prayed for me before I accepted Christ. And then after I accepted Christ, they were still praying for me and still praying for me today. We have to understand we cannot lose heart. We can't give up. We have to make sure that the ministry we have is what God has called us to. So as Paul is telling them, we're not going to lose heart. And he goes on to say, but we've renounced secret and shameful ways. Now, that goes back to the time that they were in. And I think it still reflects on today. But there were people that were presenting the gospel, trying to make a living by presenting the gospel. And it wasn't like a pastor of a church. They would travel around and say, hey, if you'll pay me, I'll come and share with you. And they were selling the gospel, you might say. They were going in and preaching and trying to heal people. But I'll only do it if you pay me type of deal. And Paul says those kind of ways, we have renounced those hidden things of shame, those shameful ways, because there were so many people at that time, and the people that were against him, against the preaching of the true gospel, were walking in this craftiness, and they were not handling the word of truth correctly. They were being deceitful. But Paul says, we didn't do that. And I think that's where we've got to come to, is because there are so many churches out there today in our world that want to have big numbers. And yes, I would love for every Sunday, for every pew in here to be completely full, because that means there's one more person that's going to hear about Jesus. But there are churches out there today that they want the big numbers because that's what brings the money in. And that's what brings the publicity in. And that's what gets me on the radio. And that's what gets me the opportunities to speak in front of public settings and gets my name out there. And if that's what they're doing, it sounds a lot like that's what was going on back in Paul's time. It wasn't to the extent, maybe, that it is today. But Paul is saying we've renounced all of that stuff. By the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We have to just know, in the sight of God, we present Jesus Christ, plain and true. Because if we will do that, Jesus says that He will draw all men to Him. You know, no matter how eloquent of a speaker I would be, and you know that I'm not, but no matter how eloquent of a speaker I might be, and no matter how polished I have my sermon ready to be, if God does not draw people, they're not going to come. But that doesn't mean I just get up here and say whatever. God has called you and I to present the gospel to people plainly. And then when we do that, that gives Him another opportunity to draw people to Himself. Not to draw them to First Southern Baptist Church. Not to draw them to following Steve Ewing, because that's nothing. It is to draw them to Him. He says, if I be lifted up, and that was the way He was going to die, I will draw men to Me. He set it up to where He could draw men to Him. And so Paul says here, the ministry that we have, I'm not going to lose heart because I've received the mercy. And so I'm not going to do anything tricky. I'm not going to do anything deceitful. But I'm going to present the gospel before every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's what we're called to do every single day. To present the gospel, plain and true, before every man's conscience. Let Him deal with it, and it's in the sight of God. We did what God has called us to do. Too many times that doesn't happen. But that's what we're called to do, simple and true. Verse 3, it says, but even if the gospel is veiled, He's saying that there are going to be people that are not going to believe. He says, even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. That ties back into chapter 3, where He said those unbelievers, before they accepted Christ, they were like that veil that Moses had. There was something keeping them from the glory of God. They just weren't able to see it. And He says, those people that are unbelievers, We can share the gospel with them. We can make it plain before every man's conscience, like Paul said. But there's still going to be times when our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. There are going to be people out there that no matter what you or I do, no matter what you or I say, how we present the gospel, there are people that Satan has blinded. There are people that refuse to believe. But there's still that response that we have to give. There's still that opportunity that we have to present them with. In the sight of God, we present them with that gospel. And if they don't believe, that's their choice. But if I don't give them a choice, Romans 10 goes on to say that if, you know, how can they believe in somebody whom they haven't heard? And how can they hear unless somebody tells them? And how can somebody tell them unless they've been sent? Well, we have been sent so they can hear, so they can believe. Our job is to make sure that we do present the gospel to the lost. He goes on to say that light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. They may not believe, and he even says here, even if the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age, and we know that Satan has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And Satan is doing everything he can to blind them from the glorious gospel of Christ, from the glory of God. Satan is doing everything he can to blind them, to keep them from seeing. And as I think about this, there are things Satan is doing to Jim over here that's keeping Jim from the gospel. So the gospel is still veiled to him because Jim is drawn to whatever, popularity, you know, power, money, all those things we talked about this morning. But you know what else God is doing to keep Jim from being veiled, from hearing the gospel? As he's talking Steve out of going to tell Jim. I always want to blame it on Jim for not listening. Man, it tells us in Romans 1 that man is without excuse because God has presented himself through creation that he is God. And so if Jim doesn't see that, if Jim doesn't understand that, it's all on Jim. But if Steve never presents the gospel to Jim, then the light of the glory of God is not presented to him from Steve. Paul says that there are going to be those that don't believe. Satan has blinded them. The God of this age has blinded them. But God wants to shine on them. God wants us to see, I think, in this verse, or he's showing me really plainly in this verse, the minds are being blinded by the God of this age. You know, I can look back and I can remember when my mind was blinded. And so there, but for the grace of God, go I. But somebody cared enough to share with me. Somebody cared enough to share with me. Yes, it was veiled to me. It was religion, and it was something I didn't understand, and maybe I didn't think I needed at the time. But people kept praying, and people kept presenting it, and God, in His infinite wisdom, had a plan for the grace to be bestowed upon me, and I'll never understand why, but I'll never doubt it. But Satan is blinding them. And I blame Jim. And it's his choice. Yeah, he's the one that's got to ultimately decide and ultimately receive. But we look at him or other people that as, well, they refuse to believe, or they don't want to hear anything about our God, and they're rejecting what Jesus did for them. They are terrible people. It's veiled because the God of this age, Satan, who is your enemy and my enemy, has a foothold on him. And part of the reason maybe because I don't go ahead and share because of the way I look at Jim. So Paul goes on to say, there's going to be some that aren't going to believe because of their blindedness. But in 5, he says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." So he's talking here, Paul is saying, you know, those other people that are using these deceiving and shameful ways of presenting the gospel and using the gospel for their benefit, that's not our way. We do not preach ourselves. We do not put ourselves up there in any way. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And we cannot go a single day without understanding that idea and that belief and that slogan, whatever you want to call it. Because when it becomes about us, then it can't be about Jesus. When I put me in there, or you put you in there, or I put someone else in there, then it's not about Jesus. And we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Real simple. And a statement again, like I said this morning, that sometimes I think we just read right over. You know, they preach, you know, Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch, and it goes on. Here, he says, "But we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord. We do not share ourselves, but we share Christ Jesus as Lord." How long has it been since we've done that? How long has it been since, not in here, this doesn't count, up here, it doesn't count right here, that's all I'm talking about. But when we go out to the lost and we share Jesus with the lost, we can help, we can minister, we can do all those things because Jesus did those things. He healed somebody and then they believed in Him. He would take care of the physical need as He took care of the spiritual need. And we should take care of the physical need, but sometimes we stop right there. We stop by trying to, you know, if I clean out the gutters, then that's good. They'll see that I'm a good person. They'll see Christ in me. So taking care of physical needs, it needs to be done. That's something we are called to do. But too many times we stop by saying, well, I can't do this, but I can take care of a physical need. Yes, you can do this. Because if you know that Jesus loves you and died for you and rose again for you and is coming back for you, then you know He did that same thing for that lost person. And you can share that. I can share that. He says, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Bondservants. It doesn't say that they were Jesus' bondservants. Says, but ourselves as your bondservants. Paul is talking about being a bondservant for the people in Corinth. In other words, he had a responsibility to the people in Corinth to share Jesus with them for Jesus' sake, for the glory of Jesus. We're going to share Jesus, and we're going to share the fact that we are here to serve you, is what Paul is saying. We are here to serve you, taking care of those physical needs as well. But they're first preach Christ, the spiritual, and ourselves as your servants to help take care of those needs. But we do it all not for the glory of First Baptist Church. We do it all for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. It wasn't like He said, okay, light, just go and you can shine out of the darkness if you want to. If it's convenient, you do that. No, He commanded the light, which was Christ, to shine out of the darkness. But if we are called to be the light of the world. That city on a hill that can't be hidden. We are commanded to be the light that's to shine out of the darkness. We know what the darkness is. We can see it. We can watch it on the news. We can read it in the newspaper. We know where the darkness is at. And we want to be, and it tells us we are to be like the stars in the universe that shine in the darkness. We're to be that. But here we're commanded to shine out of the darkness. There are a lot of times when you can see. You can just see a person and Jesus just radiates from them. The way they live, the way they spend time with Christ, you see that in their life and they just naturally shine. But here we're commanded to shine out of the darkness. Because that light, Jesus, has shone in our hearts. And if He's shone in our hearts, the reason is to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God. Make sure that you don't misunderstand. We're not to give the glory of God. That's not ours to give. Only He can do that. But to give the knowledge of the glory of God is your responsibility. That is my responsibility. Knowledge is that understanding that the glory of God is out there for you. And so, we are told that that light that was commanded to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge, the light of understanding of the fact that the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we are to give the knowledge to the lost that the glory of God is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And it's in the Scriptures. In the last chapter, it talked about how the glory of God was in the Word of God. And we are to share that knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I fall short. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God may be, and not of us. We read that again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God, power may be of God and not of us. It's not about you and me. It's the power of God is in Him. We have this, and Paul is again, he sees it as a treasure, the opportunity to share the knowledge of Christ. He sees that we have this treasure, this ministry that you have, the ministry that I have, is a treasure. But we have that treasure in earthen vessels. And you know what? Earthen vessels are temporary. My earthen vessel has a time limit. I have a time limit on that treasure, on that ministry that God has given me. We have a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God. And it'll go on to tell us in the next chapter. But that ministry, that blessing that we have is temporary. But people are going to see that it's not of us. It's a power of God. And Paul goes on. He's going to start listing some things here. He's going to say, I have this ministry. We have this ministry. And he's talking to the Corinthians that it works for us too. But he says, it's a treasure. I need to treasure it. It's temporary. It's got to be of God, not of me. But he says, this is how it works. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are persecuted. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down and not destroyed. You know what that's really saying? It's going to be tough. But you're not going to be defeated. Everything that we're set out to do, this ministry, this treasure, we know that this earthen vessel that I'm in, it's cracked and it's not the best. It's not perfect. And it's going to be hard-pressed, and it's going to be perplexed, and it's going to be persecuted, and it's going to be struck down. But it will not be completely crushed. it will not be in despair. It will not be forsaken, and it will not be destroyed. Because it's not of me. Now, if this ministry was of me, and where he says it may be of God and not of us, if it was of me, then it would be in despair. It would be crushed. It would be forsaken. It would be destroyed. But it's not. We're afraid that the ministry God gives us, when we go talk to that person, we go share Jesus with them, man, if they say no, that's just going to destroy everything. No, it's not. It says right here, it can't be destroyed. We have to understand that the ministry that we have should be treasured. It's of God, and it's not going to be easy. Because in 10, he tells him, we're always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Paul is saying, man, every day I'm laying my life down on the line. I know that Jesus Christ died for me, and I'm willing to lay my life down. If it means death, I'm willing to do that for you. But the life that Jesus has given me, I want to offer that life to you. So if I get death, if death is working in me, it's all for the point that life might be in you. He wanted them to understand all this hard-pressed and perplexed and all these things that ministry is so tough. He goes through it because it offers life to the lost. And he was willing to lay his life down. He was willing every day to put his life down and carry the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ and the opportunity for death in him as well, because he was going to preach the gospel so that life might be in the Corinthians. 13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. I love the first part of this passage. Paul is saying we have that same spirit of faith. According to what is written, he's talking about Psalm, I think it's 116, verse 10. I believe, therefore I have spoken. Do you believe in the ministry that God has given you? Do you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that the lost are out there and you need to be willing to lay your life down for them? Because that's what Jesus called you to do. If you believe it, you need to speak it. That's what Paul is saying. We have that same idea, that same spirit of the psalmist that said, I believe, so I'm going to talk. If you believe, why aren't we talking? Because he says, I know I can speak, because I know that he who raised Jesus up will also raise me up. When Jesus comes back, I will be with him. And Paul says, he will raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. There's going to be a time when Jesus comes back and he's going to call us to him and he's going to bring us with himself when he comes back. Paul believes that. And he believes it so much that he's going to speak it. For all things are for your sake. He was willing to do all this ministry, go through all these troubles, go through all these trials, lay down his life every day so that these people might know grace. And the more people that know grace, then the more thanksgiving is going to abound. And the more thanksgiving that abounds, the more glory to God. That's the purpose, is to bring glory to God. 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Second time. Why do you think he has to say that again? We do not lose heart. Because it's obviously something that's happening quite a bit. Man, Paul is saying, hey, we don't lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing. Even though that earthen vessel, you know, in these passages, it's referred to, the body is referred to in verse 7, the earthen vessel. In verse 10, this body that's perishing. In verse 11, the mortal flesh. If you go on over into the next chapter, an earthly house, a tent. Everything is temporary. Everything that we have is temporary. He says, don't lose heart, even though you know it's temporary. And the outward man is perishing. Man, have I ever noticed that in the last 5 years? I mean, it's just one of those things where this past week I thought, you know, I can't go run. My kids are all running half marathons. My wife's run half marathons. And I thought, there's one person in my family that's not going to run a half marathon. That's me. But I thought, you know, I'll do some speed walking for a mile. Man, I hurt so bad the next 3 days. It slowed the rest of my walking down. That speed walking for 1 mile slowed the next 3 days down. My knees hurt. My hips hurt. Everything about me hurt. The outward man is failing. And because that the outward man is failing, I could lose heart. Because, man, I can't do the things I used to be able to do. I used to be able to play basketball with the guys. I used to be able to play baseball and softball and all these things with the youth. I used to be able to. I can't do those anymore. My outward body is perishing. And so it would be real easy for me to lose heart and say, you know, I just can't reach the youth like I used to. Paul's saying, I can't do the things I used to because the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Man, if I get caught on that first part of that verse, I can lose heart. But if I understand it doesn't matter what this outer body, this earthen vessel, it doesn't matter what it's looking like, what it's going to, as long as the inward man is being renewed day by day. How does it get renewed day by day? By relationship with God the Father, with Jesus the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. He will renew us day by day. Not Sunday by Sunday. Not Sunday by Wednesday by Sunday. Day by day. If I don't focus on that inward man, Paul's talking about here, if I don't do that and I'm not renewed day by day, then what do I have left to focus on but that outward that we know is perishing? 17, he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Man, verse 17 says, our light afflictions. I don't know about you, but sometimes they don't feel very light. The things that we go through in this life, it doesn't say that they're light. But compared to that exceeding eternal weight of glory, they are light. Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, they're temporary. I may deal with them for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. I may deal with things in my life. But 100 years is but a moment compared to eternity. Paul is saying all these things that being hard-pressed and perplexed and all the things that we go through to share the gospel, the persecutions that we go through, the afflictions that are added to our life are only temporary, but they're working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But our problem is we don't do the thing that Paul does here. He says, while we do not look, and he's talking about himself. He can't put me in that weave sometimes. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I get it flipped around sometimes. I start looking at the things that are seen, and I get to stressing. I get to worrying about those afflictions. I get to worrying about those pains and that persecution. But Paul says, don't look at the things which are seen because they're only temporary. But look at the things which are not seen. Think about that statement. How do you look at things which are not seen? In our mind, we're thinking logical. I can look at this because it's here and it's seen. But how can I look at something that's not seen? With my heart. With my soul. I can look, I can know that I have a hope of the day when Christ splits that eastern sky, that He's coming back for me. And I can look at that, and you can't see it. But I know it's there. And I know it's coming. And I know that one day I will stand before Him. And I can't see that yet, but I can see it. Paul is saying, we have this ministry, and we have it because we've received mercy. And we know it's temporary because it's an earthen vessel and it's in an outward body. And that's all perishing. And the things that are causing it to perish hurt. And if I focus on those things, it's going to be real easy to lose heart. But don't lose heart. Look at the things that are eternal. Look at the things this week that are unseen. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You so much for the mercies that are new every morning that make it possible, Lord, through Your grace to renew us day by day. Lord, without You, I can't do it. And You know that. But You want to help us, Lord. So we pray right now in the name of Jesus that You would give us eyes to see the things that are unseen this week. That we might be out there doing what You called us to do, the ministry to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Your name we pray. Amen.